Let's stand, if you will. Let's just bow our heads as we open the service. Glorious Heavenly Father, oh, what a day to live, Father. Father, when we're so close to the finishing up, Lord, and you're coming and taking us home to be with you. Oh, Father, prophets, and Lord, people of all ages have looked forward to this day. And here we are, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just be with us tonight. Father, speak to us, Lord. You know where we're at, what we need. We pray that you would just touch every heart that's here tonight, Lord. Reveal yourself to us in some greater way, Lord, that we may know how to serve you and please you. Have your way now, I ask. We praise your holy name for us, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Turn with me if you would. I like to sing in our capstone books. Amen. Praise his name. Let's start on page 80. Sheltered in the arms of God. I feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must draw. I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me. Thank you. start with the chorus if you
will. In thousand years, and we'll just be started. In thousand years, and we've just begun. The battle.
Oh, the land of cloudless day. Oh.
Amen. Brother Branham said, don't miss it. Oh, whatever you do, don't miss it. Praise his name. Brother Hamilton, would you come on? Jesus is the one. Oh, he's the only one. Praise his name.
Jesus is the one. Yes, he's the only one. Let him have his way until the day is done. And when he speaks, you'll know.
Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Oh, precious Lord. Father, your goodness and mercy. Father, we can sing about it forever, Lord. And Lord, what you've done for us and paid the price for us. Father, when we was far from you, maybe didn't even know of you. Lord, definitely didn't believe in you. But Lord, you reached down your hand.
Yes.
And guided us. Every step of the way, Lord, until you fill us with your Spirit. Oh, God, we're so thankful. It's your mercy, your grace. Nothing I deserve, Lord. But, oh, Lord, all you've done for us, Lord, just laying there. Lord, just waiting for us to reach out by faith and accept it. Lord, as Brother Branham said, we can't make you any, we can't heal you. Because he's already done it. Father, we just got to believe it, accept it, and claim it. Lord, grant to us faith, Lord, to be made, Lord, to reach out. Lord, claim what's rightfully ours. Oh, Lord, that every person here that raised their hand, Lord, may have a testimony of, Lord, your healing and or whatever the need would be. We thank you now, Lord. Bless the brother, Lord, when he comes with your word. May our hearts be open, Father. Teach us. Grant to us revelation, my prayer. We thank you now and ask all this in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. Amen. You may be seated. Do you have a song tonight here? Ask you come.
My heart has turned back to the
the faith of the fathers, not living by senses, 'cause brothers, it's time. Brothers, it's time. Heed the call of the Spirit. It's between death and life. We've got to be so this present world offers for this new life of faith. You can see with natural eyes, counting all things contrary, that would hinder my progress, taking no daily. Brothers, it's time. Heed the call of the Spirit. It's between death and life. We've got to be so sincere. For by a chain of God's word, over hell we all hang. Just one word left out, you've broken your chain.
Amen. Let's stand, if you will. Sing a little chorus, "Only Believe." That's my brother's. This evening, yes, to be out.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Precious Lord, we all are so thankful, Lord, for each time that you draw on our hearts to come and together, Lord, unto you. And Father, tonight we'll gather around this precious word. And Lord, we just humbly ask that through my feeble way of presenting it, that Lord, someone would be able to take something from it. And Lord, that your word would be a light to us, Lord, strengthen us, cause us to be better soldiers, Lord, and to be weary and to keep watching and to press for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon your word. Bless our hearts to the receiving. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the glory and the honor for it all. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Don't you love him?
Amen.
Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn our Bibles over to Matthew, the 15th chapter. And I would like to say I appreciate your prayers this week. I believe some of you was remembering me in prayer. I ministered last night. I was asked to come and minister in Logan at the Spoken Church, Christian Fellowship Church there in Logan. And I believe God gave us something to speak, and you know, You can only do what you can do. God's up to God to do the rest.
Yes.
Amen. But we thank him for the opportunity. And, you know,
only get maybe one opportunity, which is all you can take sometimes. But all God's word will do the work if it's presented and it's the truth. It's not my word, it's His word, and He's obligated to make it shine forth. Amen. But it's just so thankful for the Lord and what He does for us. Amen. But here in Matthew, the 15th chapter. Then came Jesus to the scribes and the Pharisees, first verse, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? Amen. Yeah. Put it right back on them. This is pettiness. They didn't wash their hands to eat, and you're going to make a fuss over that. But what about you that transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?
Yes.
For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, It is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude, and he said unto them, Hear and understand. And we'll just pause right there. That's enough for that. We'll just stop. You may be seated. May the Lord bless me in his word. But he said, But this people, they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And so, and if you think about the word tradition, just a simple definition, as a practice, a belief, or a teaching that people continue over time, often because it was taught by those before them. And they begin to fall into a pattern and a rhythm, and they just miss what God has said. And for an example, I would like to turn back to Zechariah, the 9th chapter, if you would. Let's go back here. In Zechariah 9. And we're going to read us one verse here, and then we'll go back into Matthew. Pick back up. Amen. Just praying that you follow along for a moment. I believe we'll see a little something here. The Lord will help us. But 9th chapter and 9th verse of Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, and he is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So this prophecy went forth from the prophet. He spoke out what the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Ghost, men of old, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this Bible. So stop and think about it. Here, God speaking through his prophet, declaring his word, what was going to happen. And it went forth just like that. Now let's turn over to Matthew, the 21st chapter. And let's pick up here and read what actually happened now. Amen. Just to get a picture of what's taking place. In Matthew 21, in the first verse. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come out of Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two of his disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught to you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. Now Matthew, penning here, he says, Now all this was done that might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. And others cut down branches from the trees and strode them in the way. And multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. And I want you to think about that. The scribes and the Pharisees were the religious people of that day. And you want, just for a little bit of a type, you know, they were standing around probably with their goodly garments on and their faces and beards trimmed and their hair fixed a certain way. Maybe their whatever they wore back in the time, you know, their dress was just so-so. And all were so much better than everyone else. That was the attitude that was being portrayed. We are the Almighty. We're the Holy. You're below us. And it's the truth. If you go through the scriptures, you can see it in every aspect that Jesus showed. They had a very high opinion of where they were sitting. And so, as this has taken place, they're sore displeased. Now they're upset. But the very words that the prophet spoke had just been fulfilled to the letter. And here they stood, being the religious of that day, holding the scrolls that contain that prophecy, reading it in the temple daily. I've read it. But he came not to the interpretation they had or the expectation they were seeing of what that Messiah was going to be when he come on the scene. He didn't come the way they thought he would. They had him portrayed to be something else. They thought he'd come with a sword in his hand and take over and run Romans out and take over the world. But no, he said he was coming humbly and meekly. And he came just like the scripture said. And because of their traditions, because of the way they had been taught, someone said it this way, someone said it that way, and they began to just, yep, he's just going to be. And it just kept building and it kept building. And then the day came that the word came to pass, and they missed it, blind. They looked clean over top of it and never seen it. And how, what a lesson that can be for us. As we know, we sit here as a body of believers, and each one of us as individuals, as we've been bringing, and we hold this precious word in our hands, and we read it, and we read it, and we read it. And our pastor has been here to remind us and to bring the word that the Lord has laid on his heart, that cry out for revelation greater than anything in this life, in humility. And so, as we think about that, as we read this scripture, I want to read here what the prophet said in the message, What's the Attraction on the Mountain? And this was preached July 25th, 1965. And it started about paragraph 48. He said, What was the matter with those scribes? As he had just read this scripture. What was the matter with those scribes? What was the matter with those priests? What was the matter with those religious people? This was wrote 487 years before it happened by a vindicated prophet and was already put into writings called the Bible, the scrolls of the Old Testament. Why couldn't they see that prophecy being fulfilled? Now, think about how plain that prophecy was. Yeah. It was written out how he would come, sitting on that ass, riding through there, and the people would be rejoicing, and he came exactly to the letter. It didn't need a great revelation to see that. It was there, plain as day. But because of their own interpretation and their approach to it, they missed it completely. They didn't see it. And he says, why couldn't they see that prophecy be fulfilled? The same reason they can't see it today. They had took the word of God and made it of none effect to the people by teaching for traditions or doctrine, the traditions of man. And if the scribe and preachers and ministers and spiritual men, so-called anointed ones, would only read the Bible, they wouldn't be wondering what's taking place. They would know what it is. God fulfilling his word. History was being made and prophecy was being fulfilled. Salvation to the world was arriving, the great day that all of the prophets had looked forward to. And all that was in the grave and was waiting for that day, my think of it, all that had died and all the righteous, the blood of the martyrs and prophets, which he had just screamed out, Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, you that stone every prophet that I send you and kill the righteousness, how oft would I have hovered you as a hen did, would her brood, but you would not. But now your hour has come. Everything that was in the grave, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the prophets, were waiting for this hour. Amen. Just think about the type of where we're coming to today. And he says, and the church was blind to it. And who is this that's causing all of this noise? Who is that fellow? That they said one time, is not that the carpenter's son over here? We know him. Where did he get his wisdom? We don't see him connected with any of our schools. We don't know any books he ever learned from. Who is it? He was the answer of the prophet's prophecy, and here he comes, riding upon the foal of an ass. What an attraction. God was fulfilling his promised word, the hour that had been waiting since 4,000 years. In Genesis, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse, God had made the prediction, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, but his head shall bruise her heel. And that prophecy down through the Bible had been predicted of this man coming. And here just recently, there was a prophet stood among them that was a vindicated prophet, Zechariah, and he said, you daughters of Jerusalem, you daughters of Zion, rejoice, shout, and scream, for your king comes to you, meek and lowly and humble and riding upon the foal of an ass. And here those people that read that scripture day by day watched him come riding in and cried, who is this? God fulfilling his word to the people that should have known what it was, but they didn't know it. When God fulfills his word, it always causes an attraction, and it always does. Because an attraction for it is unusual. So unusual when he fulfills his word to the modern trend of the day. Because the modern trend of the day don't believe it. They have their own way. And I want you to think about that. God sent a prophet in this day. And he come and he preached a message. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Paul a prisoner. The token. And as you see these messages unfold and him showing what that life would do of that sacrifice, being able to come back upon that believer with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and changing that soul and filling us with a new birth, what that life would do in a mortal man, human body. And he proved it on the day of Pentecost when they came down out of the upper room and you've seen it take place. He was vindicating the word. Now in this day, that Holy Spirit's just as powerful today as it was then. But men, by their traditions and by their interpretations, have tried to weaken the Holy Spirit. They've tried to play it down that it's not quite that powerful anymore. By their traditions, they've made the Holy Ghost of no effect to their believers. They've brought it to a point that the Holy Ghost, you really are never going to be over your sticky nature. You're never going to truly be free. You're always going to have these little things that are always going to poke and jab you. It's just going, yes, we will have tests and trials, and it's going to come. But the Holy Ghost will take you through. And he said, to the overcomer will I grant to sit with me on my throne. Yeah. Not what we're going to do, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. He's going to bring that people to the place that he predestinated them to be conformed to. Yeah. And as they're coming to that place, yes, the test will come. And we may fail it. But the Lord will give it again and to see that person overcome that same test. And it's a growing and a growing and a never-ending journey till we leave this earth. And how, as we see that taking place, how we need to guard ourselves. To guard against, to make sure we don't allow someone to take God's word and belittle it. But make it as big as it is. Because God's word meant just what he said. He recorded exactly what was going to happen. And it happened exactly the way to the letter when Jesus came riding in. He said what the baptism of the Holy Ghost would do. And he spoke it himself. And then he sent prophets, the apostle Peter, Paul, look at the men down through the ages. And he sent a prophet in this last age to say, look what they said. He pointed right back to the prophecy and said, it's the same today, it's for you. And as many as the Lord our God shall call, it has not lost its strength, and it'll do the same work in you that it did in them if you'll accept it the same way they did. But people want to take that down because the price is too great. The sacrifice is too great. They don't want to be that surrendered to the Lord. They don't want to give up of their own life. They don't want to lose their own ambitions and desires. They want to keep most of themselves and just have a little bit of God on Sunday and maybe a night during the week. That's what they're looking for. And they've missed the point of why they were sent here. But God is calling out to a people all over this earth to a little bride that's going to come out of every message church around. I don't know if it'll be every message church, but God is calling a bride out of this message. Does everybody in this church going to make it? I don't know. It'll only be God's grace if we do. But he's going to take someone. Someone is going to make it from this little place. And I don't know what will happen in other places, but it's going to be depending upon what God will do in the individual's life in each one of those facilities and places they may gather. But you've got to keep your eye focused on God and his word and make him as big as he is. We've allowed too long. We've allowed people to just suppress it and to take it from us and to override it and try to govern it and to push it into you, drive it into you, teach you this, teach you that. When God's word is as simple as he said, amen. Take me at my word and watch it come to pass. Amen. Right. Here in the message, going beyond the camp, I'll catch this. Amen. let me see here. Yeah, we'll just, paragraph 76. This was preached July 1964. Notice, God stayed out of their camp then for 400 years. Why? He had no more prophets from the prophet Malachi to the prophet John. 400 years. There's not one turn of a wheel that Israel done. God was out of the camp. They put him out by their creeds and their selfishness and their difference towards the word. 400 years without the word. From one prophet to another, he journeyed until the last prophet was Malachi, and then there wasn't another prophet for 400 years. And then God came on the scene again, and one day he walked among them again. But their traditions had so took his place among them that he was a stranger to them. The traditions of the fathers had washing pans and the way they groomed their hair and wear their certain buttons on their coat, their certain priests and robes, one a staunch Pharisee, the other one as a Sadducee, had taken the place of the word among those men till when God visited them, he was a foreigner. Think of that. May I say this with love and respects, but to drive it home, it's the same thing today. It hasn't changed a bit. When he comes among the people in his power and manifestation to prove that his word is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he is the word, the people says a fortune teller, Beelzebub, a Jesus only, or something like that. Some clash you somewhere. But it has to be that way. Yes. And when the Holy Ghost comes into the life of a believer, it is an unusual thing, as Brother Branham said there. When God does something, it's unusual, it's abnormal. Mm-hmm. And that life being reproduced through a bride of Jesus Christ is unusual because it's so unlike everything else you see in this day. Their spirit's different. Their attitude is different. Their makeup is different. Everything about them is changing and being conformed to Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's driving them to a place, not themselves, but his life inside of them is bringing forth the results that he said, the word said it would bring. It's bringing the manifestation to pass in a people. Amen. And it's happening, and people will see it. People will notice it. Amen. And is it great signs and wonders? No, it's a life lived that you can't live yourself. Amen. And people can see the results of the manifesting through you and I.
Yes.
Amen. Here in the message, I got quite a few quotes. I was trying to make sure we catch. Let's see. This is in the message. I tried to shorten this up. This is in Events Made Clear by Prophecy. Just to catch this, he says, paragraph 107, he says, now, don't miss this now. Here is the text. Jesus, and he's going back now to when he was talking to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He says, Jesus made himself known to these two disciples that he was their Messiah. All eyes this way. Brother Branham's really wanting to make sure he's got their attention. He says, all eyes this way. And out in the land, don't miss this now. We've tried to tell you that the Bible is the word of God, wrote by God himself through the lips and instrumentality of man. God can write himself, God can speak himself, and God can do what he wants to do, but he chose man to do it because the man that wrote it is part of God. So God wrote the Bible. The men didn't even know what they were writing in their own human thinking. They might disagree with it, but they wrote it. They couldn't. The Bible said, men of old, as they was moved by the Holy Ghost, God moved their hands, moved their eyes and the visions, and they could say nothing but what they were looking at. They could speak nothing because he had full control of their tongue, their finger, every organ of the body was in full sway with God. No wonder the Bible said they were God's, they were part of God, and he was the fullness of God. And I want you to think of that. One time in one of the messages where Brother Branham said, I am God's voice to you under the inspiration. Yes. And he said, and at the closing of his message, he said, don't add anything to what I've said and don't take anything from it. But you preach it just the way I presented it until God dips it into our hearts in a revelation. Yeah. The same as this Bible. There's many scriptures in here we didn't have a full comprehension of, but God sent a prophet to open up our eyes and to point it out and to say, look, here it lays. It's right here. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Ghost and our people being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God made that word come alive off those pages. That it's no more just scriptures. I wonder what he meant by that. But God revealed himself to a people. He says, notice how Jesus, the Word, made these two heartbroken disciples know he was their Messiah. The promised Word. Notice what he done. He appealed to prophecy. Notice, full slow to believe all that the prophets wrote. Now, he never said, well, what does the church say about it? They gave him the story. So they know. They were giving the story back to him. And he says, they give him the story. They note all of the events that had happened. They was all sad, and they began to tell him, are you a stranger here? You don't know what's happened in Jerusalem. And he said, what things? Like he didn't know. See, he does things sometimes just to see what you'll do about it. See, what things? Who was it? What happened? Are you just a stranger? Are you talking right to the man they lived with for 3.5 years and didn't know him? And I want you to think about it. Many people are preaching that they know him, and they ain't got a clue of who he truly is as they're talking about him. And he says, what happened? They said, Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, there's no doubt in our mind he was mighty in word and deed before all the people. We've seen him do things that he was identified, the prophet of God for this age. We know that. And we believe that he would be the Redeemer, that he would redeem Israel. And then he turns and says, you fool, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets said about him that wouldn't come to pass. See, he said, watch him go back to the prophecy. What a rebuke to believers that claim to believe him. If the prophet was to come back today, he can only point back to the things he's already brought. Yes. The prophecy has been written. The words have been written. He's going to show you the same thing that you're holding in your hands. Mm-hmm. But you've got to have a revelation. It's got to be revealed to you by the grace of God of what it was being written and spoken of in those places. Yes. He said, notice how he approached the subject. He never come right out and said, I'm your Messiah. He could have done that, for he was. But notice he identified himself with the word, and then they would know. If he said it, he could have said it, and it wouldn't have been so. But when he went and began to speak on all the prophets said about him, they seen it. Then they could tell themselves if they were God's children, but called their attention to what the prophets had foretold and said, look, for in the time of that Messiah, his age would be manifested, and he is John. Let the word, the Bible, identify their message. Any true prophet would do it, yeah? He didn't come out and say, I am he. That's not a true prophet of God, see? But he said, go back in the scriptures. See, he never fails his way of doing it. Didn't Jesus tell us? We'll get to it. Amen. He says, the eternal, the scriptures, he says, see, he never fails his way of doing it. He said, if you would have known Moses, you would have known me. He said, Moses wrote of me, search the scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life. The scripture is what testifies of me. Yeah. Go look in the scripture. And that's what he was telling those Pharisees and Sadducees. You want to know who I am. You want to know why I'm doing what I'm doing. Go look. It's been written. It's right there what's going to happen and take place. Amen. And it's been written today what the Holy Ghost and what the Lord is going to do through that little bride. It's written in the pages of God's word, but it doesn't happen the way men's ideas and creeds and ideas have with their tradition of what they want to bring with it. They want to bring a little bit of the Baptist doctrine, a little bit of the Pentecostal doctrine, bring a little bit of this doctrine, and let's put it together and then also try to mix it with this. It won't mix. No. It's got to be the pure word. Yeah. What a little bit of what they had is truth. They each had a portion at their time and place, coming through West Luther and Wesley, up through the baptism of Pentecost, the Lord restoring it all. But we're at the fullness of time when all of the corners have been rolled back to see. There's no question of what God will do. He's proven it, and he proved it through that prophet of this last age, that Holy Ghost was just the same today as it was the day that Peter come out of the upper room. Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus. It ain't lost its power. It'll still do the same work in a people. It will bring their body under subjection to the word. It will make them live right. It will make them act right. They won't have to be browbeaten. They won't have to be talked about like this, or we're going to do this. We'll disfellowship you. You don't have to worry about it. God's word will manifest itself, but only through the elected few. And it's going to be a few. It's going to be individuals. But God's going to prove to this world that he can have a people. Amen. It's going to take place just the way he said it would. And it's in the scriptures. Now it's our duty to go back and search those scriptures to make sure that I'm in there. Not wait for my pastor to tell me I'm in there. Not wait for someone else to come along and say, I believe your name's written in there. No. I've got to know my name's in there. And each one of us is to search and to seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But oh my, the fear and trembling's gone out of this day. We're bride of Christ, everybody saved, and oh my, we're on our way to heaven shouting victory. And they've missed what the word said would take place in the life of a true, born-again, filled Christian child of God. They've missed it, and they go on. Why? Because in their own minds and own traditions, they've made their own way. They've decided what it is. They've decided what's allowable and what's not allowable. Man's got his fingers in it. I've been reading this message for 40 years. I've been reading this message for 60 years. I don't care how long you've been reading, how long you think them scribes have been studying and passing it down and passing it down and passing it down. And then all of a sudden, here come the poor innocent people. Little old Peter couldn't write his name, and God said, I'll hand you the keys. Yes. Amen. God is sovereign. He hands it to who he will. Yes. But oh, may we never get ourselves so lifted up that we think we're somebody. You know, it's a tough thing, but you take a drunk. If somebody that's really was a drunk and a true wretched down in the gutter, and let the Lord bring him from that, he will never fail to have a compassion for somebody else in that same situation. And I want you to stop and think, less than 20 years ago, where we were sitting. What shape was you in? What shape was I in? What compassion we should have for people that's still in that same boat. Yeah. Jesus Christ is still calling. There's still grace. And while he's still here and we have the opportunity, how we should truly reach that hand to try to pull a lost one. Not take in the sin. Not put up with the unbelief. Take a stand on God's word and say, brother, let me tell you, it's like this, and that's how I believe it. And I believe it because it came out of this word. If you don't like that, I understand. But that's where I stand today. As an individual before God, not as a church. We're not holding up. No, it's an individual affair. You've got to be led by the Holy Ghost. You've got to make the decisions when the Holy Spirit moves you to do something. But we want to sit by and wait. If our pastor moves, we'll move with our pastor. That's happening all over this land. But God is calling individuals to stand up. Amen. What about poor Jonah? What do you think he felt like getting sent down to Nineveh? What do you think? Why me, Lord? Well, look at them people. But God knew he was the one for the job. Yes. And sometimes God knows you're the only person that might be able to reach someone. But you've got to be in the spirit enough to be able to allow him to use you to get to that person. Yes. And oh my, may we be a people that is getting to that place. That we're not dependent upon, I need everybody else to hold my hands as I move through this journey. It's an individual affair. You've got to hold to the word and be able to stand and say, this is what God has revealed to me and made me today. Oh my, and not be swayed with the masses and be able to just join up. It'll never work. Amen. But we've got to become a people. Sometimes we take the attitude that we're better than others. And forgive me for saying it, but it shows. People see it. And it stands out. I'm a Christian. I'm holy. Well, you don't step on my toes. That's what we came out of, and you want to drag it and bring it with you, and it shows in your life. Yeah. I'm just being honest. You've got people can see that, and God can see that, and he knows your heart, and he knows what I'm saying. I am not here to hurt anybody, but I'm just saying, I'm not saying go rub shoulders with everything and just go, oh, we're all one big happy family. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm saying, you don't forget where God brought you from, because that's what's happened in this message. Men have themselves so high that they can't be touched. They think they've got it all. They've been higher than they've been here, and they've been there, and God can't use them no more. They've become. But there's still a little sheep that's laying out there, though. They're not being fed what they need. Maybe there's one that's got a desire that's pulling, but you might be the one that can reach that one. And God's word's laying here. You don't need your own words. You don't need nothing else. You just need a life lived by this right here. It'll bring the attraction. That is the attraction that will draw the attention. Yes, oh my. Saints, we just go to church. Mm-hmm. We have become a people. We're great about going to church. We're great about letting the preacher preach. We're great about, but what about the services of coming in and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit falling on a people? What about somebody standing up and shouting, hallelujahs? Mm-hmm. Not a put on, not a fake, but a reality in their heart because God has done something for them. You don't see it. I'm just saying, you've got to be honest and you've got to think about it. There's a false, but there is a real, genuine anointing of the Holy Ghost that will drive you to raise your hand, to say, amen, that's me, Lord. Let it be like that to me. We've lost it. It's gone. You don't see it. And it's not a revival that's going to be through the Lamb, but it'll be in the heart of the individual. It's got to shine forth. And you can't hide it. If it's there, it'll come out. But the devil's made a bogus. Oh, yeah, he's made a great bogus. That's all you see anymore. But and then nobody sees the real when it's really burning. But, oh, my, it's got to be a people. And this word should put us in that place. And, oh, my, I pray you understand what I'm trying to say. I just can't help it, but you just feel it in your heart. There are people that are hungry. There are people that are longing. They don't know. But they're searching. I've sent messages after messages that the prophet preached. Read this. Read this. Think about this. Look for this word. Look for that word. Put them together. Give the Holy Spirit an opportunity. Yes. That's all we can do. But I will not be partaker of their sin or their unbelief or what they want to get parted up with. But stand firm on your faith and what you believe and be honest about it. Brother, I don't agree with that. I don't do that. And here's why. God has showed me there's a higher place than that. It's okay to stand up and be different. It's okay to stand up and say, this is me. Not my church, not what my pastor says. I'm afraid my pastor will kick me out. I'm afraid he's going to call my name out in church. He's going to think I did this. But no, but make sure it's under the inspiration and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And watch God give the increase. Watch God use you. Because he said he would show that little bride off. Yeah. She's not going to be hid. She's not going to be down in a barrel somewhere where nobody can see that life. That life will shine forth from that little person. Amen. And everyday activities that you do. Oh my. May we be a people that is looking for that, longing for that. All this word, we hear it. We come in and we listen. And we're asking God to give us a revelation. And we're crying out. But it's got to be manifested. It's got to be vindicating back to a people and everything. Not just big words, but the little bitty ABCs. Oh my, may we be a people that's reaching for a higher height in Christ. Amen. Just pray. If nothing else, pray for me. Amen. Glory to his name. And God calls us all for different purposes. I might have a different call in my life than some of you will ever have an opportunity to do. And I can only do what God leads me to do and go where God gives me an opportunity. But I pray and ask God. You know, as I've got quite a few here, is the warnings that's in this Bible. And I'll just read them kind of quickly. But just think about this. Amen. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Yes. How, as you think about these scriptures, Lord, we might be the words coming in. But don't let me get myself puffed up that I've got it all, and that I need to go give it to everybody else. Don't let me take that stance. But Lord, let me guard what you give me, but let me be that light that's standing there delivering what I can. Yeah, 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, and continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Luke 8:18. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have.
Yes.
Beware, Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, mm-hmm. after the tradition of men, yes. and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, there's two great examples in the Bible that stand out to me, and one is Jesus and Judas. Mm-hmm. Jesus called Judas knowing what was going to be. Mm-hmm. And the whole time they walked together, he loved him. And he knew that the day was going to come, they couldn't do that no more, and it would happen. Mm-hmm. The rich young ruler came to him, and Jesus saw him coming, and he knew his heart before he ever got there.
Yes.
He saw the shape, and he knew that what he was going to tell him was going to have no effect. Mm-hmm. He knew that. But the scripture says he looked at him, and he loved him. Mm-hmm. He had compassion, even though he knew there was no hope. Mm-hmm. You got to know, he knew that. And yet he still reached out and said, this is what you're lacking. This is what you need. Where can we have that same attitude? Though somebody stabbed me in the back. Somebody has said bad things about me. Somebody is trampled on God's precious word. But yet maybe, you know, they've not maybe a full rejection. But I just don't know if that's truth. What can we continue to show and express that life of Christ? Or the minute somebody says, well, I don't know about that, we just strike them off. That's it. What if somebody would have struck us off 20 years ago? What if God would have said, there ain't no hope for any of them folks? There's still hope today. I don't know who, and it won't be a great wide revival. But I'm just saying, sometimes our attitude gets that we're still the only ones. Just be careful. Be careful. God is sovereign. As I said last night, God could use an animal to stand here and speak God's word to you. Mm-hmm. But you have got to allow God to speak, and you've got to allow that word to do the changing in your life. Mm-hmm. Just coming to church and having the best pastor in the land won't save you, and it won't get you in. You have got to have that personal experience and see the changes of God's word in your life. Mm-hmm. Oh, saints, may it burn in our hearts greater. Don't just be a churchgoer. Let's just not be hearers of the word over and over, but let us be those true doers of the word of Jesus Christ. You know, you just see so much. And all over this land, there are people starving. They're naturally starving. There's countries that they got nothing, and they're more thankful than we are sitting in a land of plenty. There's all kinds, but God put us here. And we'll have our own battles. They got their own battles. But nevertheless, out of all of this world, God is going to bring a bride for his glory. And we got to be one of them that is the full expression of every word in this Bible. Not just a part here and the part I like or the part that makes me feel good. But what's it doing to me? Is it changing my life? Am I seeing those results? Is it really bringing that joy and salvation into my heart? Am I seeing it? Not a put on, but a genuine reality. God is real. Amen. Amen. And sometimes, I don't think we just kind of, that's enough. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. I love him, saints, and I pray that he will continue to give me a greater understanding, greater revelation. There's so much word, so much laying here that we truly probably don't fully grasp the reality of. So many things. And I just pray, Lord, continue to enlighten me. Continue to draw me. Lord, take me to where you would be able to use me for your glory. It might just be the doormat. It might just be the opening up the door or whatever. But Lord, let me be to your glory. Amen. You sisters can come to the instruments if you would. But oh my, saints, it's real. And just as Paul said, I forget those things that are behind me. And I reach forth to those that's before me. Make sure that you're not hanging on to something from our past. Something that we thought or we grabbed a hold of, a situation. But let us continue to press for a higher place. And truly look into God's word. Not what I was taught. It's, you know, it's so easy to try to be a person pleaser. It's so easy to live our life just trying to please somebody. We did it for a long time. We saw it. We were just so complacent. We went along with the crowd. Oh, don't disrupt things. We don't agree. Don't tell nobody we don't agree, but we're just going to go along. No, it's God's word. That's what makes the difference. Maybe we didn't understand. Some of us fully didn't understand that at the time things were happening and things were taking place. But God brought us through that for a purpose. And then he brought us to where we are today. And until he comes, he's still got a work for each one of us to do. And may we be a people that's willing and to come to that place in humility and say, Lord, what more can I do for you? What more, as I yield myself to you and I give up of myself, Lord, take me in your hands, Lord, and let me be a vessel that you can use. Yes. Oh my, it won't be, like I said, don't think Brother Tim thinks there's going to be a worldwide revival and we're going to get, it ain't going to happen. No, it's to the individual. But God is wrapping up that last little few elect. And oh my, you just don't know when you might be the one. Think about the lady that had the little baby, and that lady up in the balcony felt led to go pray for it. And she went all the way down there knowing Brother Branham was going to pray for it. But she prayed for it. And Brother Branham said, it's already healed. That woman had compassion. She was able to meet the need and take care of the situation. God working through her as an individual. That same God is alive today to use you and I. It might be a word spoken. It might just be a simple act that you didn't even notice that catches someone's attention. But Lord, use me to your glory. Amen. Let's stand and just sing the little chorus. Jesus, use me. Amen. Brother Kevin, could you start us?
Sure, probably if he wanted to and he had time, but that would have been perfectly blended into falsely judging people. You know, it's so easy to falsely judge somebody because of maybe something we see or something we may know. Sometimes we don't know what's down on the inside working on somebody, you know. So that's why the truth must always be stated, and then that's between them and God. See, it isn't what we can do or what somebody else is going to do. It's what God will do through his word. The word of God is inspired, you know. So let's just, each one of us, search our hearts with that, you see, and just make sure we're right with God. Yeah, everyone, I should say, we want to make sure. So we're thankful for that. And we're thankful God made an opportunity for him to go minister over there. That's wonderful. Trust that maybe might be a little soul there that the word of God can get a hold of. Amen. Maybe several. Who knows? You know? But may the truth always be stated. We have to stay with truth. Amen. That's wonderful. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful again for the word of God tonight. And Lord, we're so appreciative to see the work that you're doing in the true predestinated your bride. Lord, progress will not stop, Lord, until you come and take us home. And Father, as a people constantly overcoming and getting ready for that great appearing, and Lord, there is that true people there for it. And Father, may we by grace and mercy, find ourselves in that, Lord. And may we be willing to do whatever you want us to do. Again, Father, get us back to being the true prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ. As, Father, even Apostle Paul and our precious prophet brought it out in his message, Paul prisoner, of how that little woman just kept coming back. That spirit was on her. And constantly just lowering those two men, great men of God, and making a mockery. But Lord, that prophet, he could not do anything until you told him to do it. And Father, that's the way each one of us should live. And Father, we will not do anything outside of the will of God and until it's your leadership. Father, that's the most and greatest important thing to work in a man or woman's life. For they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, Father, we just ask that you help us to just be constantly searching, wanting, longing, desiring, Lord, for that next move for every one of us to take. And, Lord, each road that we must travel, Father, may we be that people that's open-hearted and our minds collected to that purpose and very sober-minded. So we ask that you would bless us now. Thank you for the opportunity you give us here to be here tonight. And I'm sure those listening in, Father, are thankful also. And we pray, Lord, that you would just guide us now. And if you should tarry till Sunday, lead us by your Holy Spirit and deal with our hearts according to the word, Lord. Continuously, Lord. Father, we don't want you to ever quit or even slow down in our lives. But Father, may that inspiration and the revelation of the word keep coming to our hearts. We ask now that thy will be done, guide us and lead us in all truth and righteousness. In the lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise God. May God richly bless you.